WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Battle Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you
and it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to 2022. This is the first show of the year. Woo! I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's not the extra show, so this is the real show. So it is technically the real show's first show of the year. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us. It's a new year. Yes, it is, Brandon. Are you still at work?
Are you still at work?
I think he's still at work.
God, Brent.
If he's not, I'd be surprised.
I mean, but to be fair, I'm still at work, but I also work from home, so.
Yeah, you're at home, though. He doesn't.
Go home, Brent.
Go home. Leave your work. Put the papers down. Go home. That's how this works. It's 7 o'clock. It's work's over. Anyway, we have stuff to get into tonight.
We do have stuff to get into tonight. WWE did not waste time on giving us news, nor did the rest of professional wrestling, so we have that to look forward to. Plus, we are talking all about NXT's New Year's Evil, and yes, folks, we are talking the Ramblins, where we are giving out the 2022 edition of our awards. This is the second annual Ramblins, by the way. I'd like to make it a yearly thing if possible. So we'll be going over some of that to tell you our picks for those categories and just to clue you on what the categories could be. We have Male Hard Carry of the Year, Female Hard Carry of the Year, Abby's Most Spellbinding Match, The Yowie Wowie Biggest Surprise, Oh Have Mercy Shocking Moment, Huskus's Sweetest Moment, and a new category, the Bludgeon Brothers Team of the Year. So we will let you know our picks and who won those awards later in the show, but now I say we don't waste any time and we jump right back into the news. Right to our friends over at mbgfilms.youtube.com/mbg1211. And we have to talk about the biggest story of the week, the one that moved the needle, the one that everybody is discussing. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jake Atlas has in fact signed with AEW.
She pulled a me. She pulled a me, y'all.
I heard one AEW story. We're getting it out of the way early.
Yeah, Jake Atlas has signed with All Elite Wrestling. And, well, since we're there, we might as well hit the bumper and just go there.
Yeah, let's just go there.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulders snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Because, you know, Mr. No Days Off over here. Didn't waste any time. We're 6 days into the new year, Brent. 6 days! And speaking of Jake Atlas, his very first match as a contracted talent in AEW, what happens? He blows out his knee.
Hashtag blame Brent.
There is no time frame at this point for his recovery. I believe he's still undergoing medical testing to determine exactly what's wrong and what is required to repair the knee. So best wishes to him as he begins his recovery process.
Indeed.
Up next, in a oh god, ow moment from the other night, Ray Fenix with a severely, and I mean severely, dislocated elbow.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I mean, like, that thing came out of the joint dislocated.
The fact that nothing broke is a miracle.
It's legit. I'm surprised that, like, the joint isn't fractured or he doesn't have, like, any kind of tearing, but I think he's going in for additional medical testing.
Yeah, he tweeted that he is going in for more doctor's appointments, so we'll see what the official diagnosis of the dislocated elbow is, whether there's whatever ligaments inside that elbow have been stretched and pulled and sort of ripped apart. Time will tell.
Yeah, but best wishes to him as he recovers, because, ooh, God, that was nasty looking.
Yeah, the table bump was, yeah. It was no one's fault. Things happen.
Yeah, it was purely an accident. He took the bump, and he landed, I think he technically landed correctly, but
his arm just sort of smacked.
Yeah, it just got caught, and he unfortunately dislocated his elbow, so it's very, very lucky that nothing's broken, and we'll see. See how she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Sasha Banks, a sprained leg.
Hashtag blame Brent.
The least severe of all the injuries talked about. She says she's okay, but the word coming out was a sprained leg.
Yeah.
I don't know how you sprain your whole leg, but...
talent?
Here we are. Usually it's a knee, but they said leg. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I got nothing with that, so I say we just... you know, transition into the rest of the news. So, the actual biggest story of the week happened yesterday, 5 days in. I don't even know what to say at this point. I think it's Operation Remove Hunter. That's the only justification I have. Again, I think the justification was budget cuts, but...
No, it was not budget cuts. It was reorganizing whatever the new NXT is.
Oh, so they came up with a different excuse.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically they said we're removing Hunter without saying that we're removing
Yeah, there were... we're falling in line with whatever NXT 2.0 is.
Got it. So, unfortunately, WWE did release people yesterday. They were from NXT. They were trainers. They were producers. There were some talents as well. I am just going to read their list.
Before you do. With the continued evolution of NXT 2.0, we decided to part with some of the staff based in our Performance Center. We thank them for their many contributions throughout the years and wish them the best, is the official quote that was given out.
Okay.
That's
going
the
to
quote.
Read the names.
That's the quote.
And we'll discuss from there.
Okay.
So, going to read this back to front, because I feel like we need to end on the first one. So, Gabe Sapolsky, Allison Danger...
Hold on, I'm going to stop you there. Alice in Danger just started 3 months ago, so people are mad that she uprooted and came over. Continue.
Yeah, that's a little shitty. Hideki Suzuki?
He was in the Diamond Mind.
Was he the tall trainer dude?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder where he was. Danny Burch, Timothy Thatcher, George Carroll, who was a producer.
slash
Scott Armstrong.
George Carr, also sort of Sean's assistant.
Yeah. Scott Armstrong, who is a longtime WWE employee. He has held many hats, including being the head referee, I think, at one point. Ryan Katz, who was a producer slash writer. I'm surprised they let him go, but also not surprised they let him go.
He was Hunter's guy.
Dave Kapoor, a.k.a. Rajan Singh. He was the head of creative for NXT.
He's been back and forth many of a time.
Sarah Kumins, who was the senior VP of consumer products. Road Dogg, Jesse James, a.k.a. Ryan Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Samoa Joe. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Uncle William is no more. Uncle William has been released from WWE. Everybody raise a glass to Uncle William. And also, Vince, or whoever the hell is in charge, you owe Regal royalties for the rest of his life. You owe his family royalties for the rest of their lives for the War Games meme. It's only right.
Okay. That one surprised me the most was Regal, because the talent they brought in that WWE rely on now. Yes, it's William Regal is a surprise if you think it like that. He has helped bring in people. He put his job on the line for the likes of Sasha Banks. He coached people like Paige. He brought in all his talent, and he was, you know, a big supporter of a lot of the talent, guided them, and what have you. March 12th, 2020, something started in this world, and since that point, you can't travel to independent wrestling shows as often as you did. You can't go out and scout all the talent that is out there like you once did. That was Regal's job. He would go and scout. He was head of scouting and what have you. He was also Hunter's guy. When you add those two pieces together in real life factors, it's not as big as a surprise as you think.
I think the writing on the wall for Regal was there because they didn't do anything with him for War Games. He has not been involved in NXT since the changeover has occurred. They've all but, like, pretty much dropped the general manager role that he was occupying on TV. I don't even think he had been down to the PC in quite a while.
If he has, it's just on off days, not on TV days or whatever.
Yeah.
He's not been a TV character since September when they did the whole changeover.
So, I mean, it is unfortunate because there are a lot of talents, a lot of the young talents out there posting tributes to Regal and talking about what an amazing coach and person he is and how helpful he was and how helpful he's been. And, you know, it's sad, right? And I know that there's a plan. I know that there's a point. I know they're trying to achieve something, but I just don't know what it is. And at this point, it's just difficult to watch people lose their jobs because to us on the outside, there's no justifiable reason, right? Beyond it's they don't fit the direction that we're going in, and so we're going to get rid of them. Especially for a lot of these voices who were longstanding employees or have been long in the business, who have a lot of experience that could benefit a very young roster in NXT. But they also want people that I think are not necessarily Hunter's guys. And that's the only common denominator. It's from my outside perspective, there could be other reasons, and I'm sure there are, but it's like Hunter had his people in NXT and he took care of them. And now it's like, okay, well, Hunter is pretty much out of NXT, it feels like. So we're going to replace Hunter's people with whoever's running its own people that are going to do what they want. It's very similar to kind of what Hunter was doing. Or Hunter did when he took over developmental. He got rid of a lot of the people that were Vince's guys or John Laurinaitis's guys, got rid of them, brought in his own people, he ran it, and now the same thing's happening to his people. It's just really kind of unfortunate because you don't like to see people lose their job, especially at the start of the year. That sucks, right? You know, especially for someone like Allison Danger, who just moved to Florida 3 months ago, and now she's lost her job. She's not, like, ungrateful about it at all, but it's like, that's terrifying. Like, what the fuck are you supposed to do, you know?
Yeah, there's not much you can do. It sucks. Samoa Joe got his job saved by Hunter. He got 6 more months in a company he was released from.
Joe's unfortunate, but I think once Joe got injured the second time, the writing on the wall was there again. Hunter gave him a job. She gave him a job. Also because he's incredibly valuable, but they gave him a job to kind of sort of, because I think there were promises made and they couldn't be honored because Joe got hurt.
He got hurt and then went back to doing his desk job. He became a scout, a talent evaluator for the company, and that's what he's been doing for the last 4 or 5 months. that's your role. But since they're changing things up and they're going in a different way of how they're scouting their talent,
they're moving away from the indies. They're going to colleges and they're pulling talent from colleges. You don't need traditional wrestling scouts for that. You need athletic scouts who you can train to go in and look for specific qualities within people and be like, yes, they possess everything that we need to bring them in and train them to be a professional wrestler. That is where WWE is going, is they're moving away from pulling people from the indies because, no offense to the indie guys, they have a lot of wear and tear on them generally. They've been on the indies 10, 15, 20 years in some cases. So they don't have necessarily the longevity as say, someone who's in their 20s. Right, who they can train. It's like Bron Breakker is a prime example. He's young. He's in his 20s. They're going to get a lot of use out of him, hopefully.
Hopefully.
So
what they want at the end of the day is the next Ruthless Aggression group. They want the next Randy Orton, the next John Cena, the next Brock Lesnar, the next Dave Bautista. And they built them from scratch, pretty much.
Yep. Pretty much.
John had some indie work, but they built him into the WWE system. Brock was a college athlete. That they built into a professional wrestler, and look what he's done. That's
Randy
what the
wrestling brat.
Yeah, but that's what they want. They want to build them from the bottom up. They want to make them their own, and that's what they're doing. So the old guard is being pushed out for a new guard. Shawn Michaels right now is Hunter's role because Hunter's not doing the job anymore, and Hunter and Shawn's following Vince's orders, and that's where we're at.
And we'll just have to see how it goes. Like, again, it sucks. I feel bad for everybody on this list, and based on how things are going, I don't know if there aren't more to follow. I would hope not, but you just don't know.
You don't know.
Like, they've made it very apparent that people and talent and pretty much anybody in that company outside of Vince McMahon, and we don't even know if he's safe, are completely expendable. Like, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, it's not we're going to give you the padded cushion anymore. It's like, you either do your job or you get out. That's very apparent. That is the message that's being sent.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm sure that I shouldn't say no, but I'm sure that that's leading to some, awkwardness with talent and staff and everything else, right? Because who wants to work in an environment like that? Not a lot of people. And we're starting to see maybe that they're going to lose people over, but at the same time, you're having people resign. So we'll just have to see. We'll see how it goes. But I'm sorry to everybody that lost their jobs. It sucks, especially Regal. Raise a glass to Regal. And happier news, Roman Reigns has been cleared to return to action from COVID. He will be on SmackDown tomorrow. Convenient.
Convenient, very convenient. But everyone kind of knew that was going to be a thing because that's now the 5-day window instead of 10 days. I think it is now for testing.
It's 5 days, yeah.
Yeah, so he was able. Today was the 5th day. He cleared protocols and he's able to return to the buildings on Friday.
Ding.
And he'll be joined by someone new.
Yes, congratulations, because Petey Williams is now a full-time WWE producer, so go him.
Congrats to Petey. That's a good wrestling mind to have up there. And he's someone who put a lot of wear and tear on his body and now has a job in WWE. That's pretty good.
Go him. Congratulations to him.
If you think about it, there's a lot of people who went through the Impact system that are now working behind the scenes at WWE. You got Petey, you got Hurricane who's back there, you got Abyss.
Abyss is back there.
Yeah.
At one point, Sanjay was there.
Sanjay was there for a while, yeah. Jeff was there for a while.
We don't talk about that.
God, oh God, his appearance at GCW, that was something.
That was different. Anyway, moving on. Speaking of Impact, Matt Stryker is officially done with Impact Wrestling. There's no word on what he's planning to do next. Rohit Raju, the former X Division champion, has left Impact Wrestling, so best of luck to him. Soo Young and former Impact champion Rich Swann are expecting a baby, so congratulations to them.
They announced it at the end of Impact last week. They revealed it. That's cool.
That's very cool. And last but certainly not least, NWA and Fight TV have announced a new NWA All Access plan. Power returns to YouTube, and a new program on NWA USA has been announced.
Yeah, so they're going to charge $50 for the year, and it will include all 4 NWA pay-per-views of the year. So that's how you get access to that. You'll get first... the first airings of NWA Power and NWA USA before they hit the YouTubes. They're bringing the content back to YouTubes since they've been able to secure this deal. They moved the Fight Everything over to Fight last year to stay afloat, basically, is what Nick Aldis came out and said today. Basically, they moved it as a way for survival to keep the NWA going, and now that they've gotten back on their feet a little bit and have generated some income, they need fans to watch their product back, and now with returning to YouTube, they'll be able to get more exposure, which is where it was growing to be. Like, there was a select audience watching it on YouTube, and then when you start charging $5 a month and moving it all off of YouTube and only onto Fight TV, not everyone's going to do that, especially since it was something you were watching for free, and now you're like, wait, I have to pay for this? So now people all over the world will have access to NWA Power for free. But if you liked their pay-per-views, it's $50 for the entire year and a whole bunch of offers. So check out fight.tv for more information.
Ding! And with that, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So New Year's Evil was upon us this past Tuesday night. And it sort of was the end of the old era as we knew it and bringing in the new. Our opening contest, however, was to combine two championships. It was the North American Cruiserweight Championship Unification Match, Roderick Strong against Carmelo Hayes. I believe the new belt is the North American Cruiserweight Champion. I think that's the name they decided on. Maybe we get a new belt out of it. I don't know. But this was a really good match.
This is a really good match. I enjoyed this a lot. I thought they did very well together, and I wouldn't mind seeing them again. I really, really wouldn't. Like, I'd be okay with that. I don't know if we get a new belt. I would tend to doubt it.
I think we're getting new belts. Because if you think about it, they all have the old logo on it.
Yeah, that's true.
We may be getting new belts. True. We may be getting new belts. I don't know, for sure.
But they just refreshed those titles, like, not that long ago.
Oh, you know, it happens. But no, so the one success story of this NXT 2.0 phase is Carmelo Hayes. He's been sort of growing in front of our eyes, and this was a good match. Roderick Strong did his job to make him look like a star. All in all, I think it worked well. I think Bivens played his role well in this one as well, because it's Bivens.
It's Malcolm Bivens, yeah.
Yeah. So this was a really good opener.
I enjoyed this a lot. It set a really nice tone and pace for the show. This was good.
Then you had a backstage interaction, which we never thought we would get, was Ciampa and AJ Styles.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
I think we all are.
I would like to see that match one day if we get the opportunity. I don't think we will, but it would be cool if we did. But AJ Styles was out next, and he was beloved by this crowd. They would not stop chanting his name. But he talked about winning many championships, but the one thing he's never done was have a match in NXT, because he jumped past NXT, debuting at the Royal Rumble, and he put over the passion, the fans, and everyone in the back. He says he doesn't care if it's black or gold or 2.0. Passion is what makes NXT. And he'll be damned if someone tries to take away this passion. And that brought out Grayson Waller. Waller talked about how AJ Styles is laying things thick. Pulling on people's heartstrings. And he's deflecting because, you know, he lost to Omos on Monday Night Raw. Waller said people say that Waller is greener inexperienced, but he's a student of the game. He said the reason Styles lost is because Styles was thinking about me, Grayson Waller. Styles said Waller was right. Styles says he was hurt and he's not 100%. He says he's never had a match in NXT. And, you know, he was basically putting up a challenge. Waller cut him off and said, you know, we're not on Styles time. We're Waller time. And Styles like, you need to grow a sack and do something. Waller tried to go in for a brawl, but nah. Instead, next week, it'll be the biggest moment of his career. It'll be the main event next week's show. AJ Styles and Grayson Waller. Grayson tried to get involved, but AJ hit him with the Pele kick. And then Waller ran away from the phenomenal forearm.
This was really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed this a lot. It's a good build to the match that's coming. And yeah, AJ was over.
This is a really good AJ. Babyface AJ like this is really good. And I think hopefully they take this and bring this back up to the main roster a little bit. I think we saw them a couple weeks ago. I think this is the perfect spot for AJ.
Yeah, because it's been a minute since he's been like a baby.
A true baby face with a promo, with giving him a mic, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not doing the Bullet Club shtick with the Good Brothers.
Mm-mm. He's actually being a true babyface, which is nice.
Yeah. We had Imperium taking on MSK and the Shaman, Matt Riddle.
No, we had Walter murdering people. That's what we had.
He just chopped every living crap out of people.
Like, I don't even know how you fight that. I don't know why you would want to fight that. Why would anybody want to fight Walter? You know it's just going to be pain.
Some people enjoy pain.
I understand some people enjoying pain, but there's pain and then there's getting your nipple slapped off.
Again, some people may like getting their nipples slapped off.
Then do it at home.
Some people like getting their nipples slapped off in front of people. It's their kink.
That doesn't mean that we have to watch it.
Some people like to be watched.
And they can do that in the right setting. There's porn stores for that.
Some people want to take it. Anyway, this was a fine match. It was very fun to watch. Riddle and MSK got the win.
This was good. This was very entertaining. It was nice to see Walter back. He's Walter, right? Like, he has a something-something to him. He's big, he's thick, he's beefy. You know he's going to whoop somebody's butt. It's always entertaining to watch him do it, right? Because he just has that swagger to him where he just, I don't know what. It's like he doesn't say a lot, but he has that natural personality that comes through. That's really great. Like, he has it. You can see he has it.
We will see what Walter's role is going forward, whether it's in NXT or elsewhere, because he's headed over. His final match in NXT UK is airing tomorrow on the Peacock on the WWE Network. So, yeah.
It will be interesting to see, because I think he's dating... Isn't he dating Jenny?
Yes, he is.
So, we'll see if she comes over.
They're over here now, yeah.
Then, yeah, we know what's up.
Mm-hmm. So, we got the announcement of the Dusty Cup. We're going to get a men's and a women's Dusty Cup again. And it seems like Joe Gacy and Harlan are going to team up for it.
I don't want to talk about it.
We also had a bunch of girls backstage all wanting to, you know, get in line too for the Dusty Cup, so that should be interesting.
That should be good.
Then we had Mackenzie Mansfield talking to Electra Lopez, and everyone said, what's the deal between her and Zion? Lopez talked to how she's attracted to success, and Lopez says that the winner of the match between Escobar and Quinn next week will get to walk out with her.
Seems slightly sexist. Just slightly sexist.
But if she's the one offering it...
If she's the one offering it, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. Like, it's just... Here's the thing. If it was in reality and she's actually offering it, then okay, fine. But it's not reality and you know she's not the one actually offering it, that it's a writer that has written this, that it's like, oh, you know what would be the perfect foil for this match is that we basically have an Electra Lopez on a pole match. Because that's what this is. Like, she's just, you know, she's the one that they're fighting for. Not for glory, not for bragging rights, it's her.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime it's that situation, you're kind of like, or at least for me, I'm kind of like, I don't know about that. But to each their own, I guess.
Mandy Rose showed up in a helicopter. Why, I guess, because...
That's how the champ arrives, Rock.
And then Raquel had her motorcycle, and then, you know, Cora had her skateboard. So, you know, they all got a way to get into the ring. For the NXT Women's Championship match, Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, and Raquel Gonzalez. This was okay, a little sloppy at times.
The entrances were better than the match. I'm sorry. They were. The entrances were far better than the match. This was not the most impressive thing I've ever seen the NXT women do. I appreciate that they tried, like, really, really super hard. And I respect that they tried really, really super hard. But this was messy in spots. They did not look good, and they were lacking a leader in this match, like, hardcore. So, obviously that's all going to come with time, because Cora is a young talent, Mandy's still learning, Raquel's still kind of learning, but this match needed a leader, and it just didn't have it. And so, as a result, the spots were just, some of the wrestling was just really kind of sort of, like, messy, especially the pin at the end with Mandy and Cora.
Yeah.
That was really awkward. How that happened. Like, that was... Cora just kind of rolled over. And then it's like, oh my god, I got pinned! So.
Yeah. We had Andre Chase University came out. He was also grateful that he could get thrown off the roof by Harlan last week.
I feel bad for that blonde-headed dude. First he almost gets thrown off the roof by Harlan, and then he gets beaten up.
Yeah. Von Wagner came out.
They were trying to give him a personality, God bless.
Saying he's the real star of NXT, and, you know... He said he wants people to tune into the Von Wagner watch party to see who he tunes out. He started, you know, Chase tried to call this a teachable moment, but instead Von Wagner attacked.
I'm not sure what they're doing with Chase. I don't think they're sure what they're doing with Chase. I don't think they know, you know?
He's a heel trying to get heat, I guess.
But, like, what's the point of him? Like, and I ask this every week about someone. It's like, what? Okay, he has a character. That's great. You know, he gets your attention. That's great. What is his purpose? What? Tell me. Tell me what he's supposed to be. Tell me what, you know, is interesting about him. I want that information. And again, they're not giving it to me. Why? Like, if you want people to invest in someone like Chase or someone like Von Wagner, which to their credit, they're trying to do that with Von Wagner. They're trying to make Von Wagner interesting. But for someone like Chase, it's like he just kind of does these Chase use bits. And it's like, okay, we established him as that. Can we get more on him? Because more is good.
More is good, yeah. But the main event was really good. It was Bron Breakker, Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Championship. We had basically the signaling of the end of NXT Black and Gold with the breaking of the NXT old logo.
Can we stop? Like, can we just... And I hate to be that person, but can we just stop with that shit? Okay? We get it. It's dead. You murdered it. Congratulations.
But anyway, they had a really good match.
They did. They had a great match. This was the perfect ending to this, where you had Bron Breakker pick up the victory. He had to take Tommaso on three times to get the title, and he worked his way to it. They built the story really, really well, that it's like Bron Breakker has finally come. He has finally arrived to NXT, and he is now your NXT champion. This is the end of Tommaso Ciampa as your champion, possibly in NXT too. But we don't know that yet. But it is certainly the end of the old guard in NXT, which is a little sad.
It is, but Bron Breakker will be the new face of NXT. And afterwards, after the show aired, his father came out and celebrated with him. So that was cool to see.
And it was neat because Tommaso went over and shook Rick's hand after he lost as a sign of respect. Also, we didn't talk about it, but they found Cameron Grimes.
They did.
They cleaned him up some more. You've got him at optimum levels. Don't groom him anymore. He's good. But, yeah, I'm not sure what they're doing with Cameron Grimes either, but they found him.
They found him.
So, yay, he hasn't been on TV in a while. But, yeah, no, I like the ending of this. I like the fact that they built a Braun winning the title, because it's so much more satisfying when he wins it after the third try versus the first time when it's like he's brand new, he just came in, and they're going to have him take the title off Tommaso. I feel like all of us would have been like, the hell are you doing?
I think this was the second time. The second fight between them was in War Games, but this was the second one-on-one.
Yeah, but they faced at least three times.
Yeah.
So the more experience Braun gets, the better.
Mm-hmm. And them working on the road together when they went overseas, the two of them.
Yeah.
Helped a lot, too.
Yeah. Braun's really come leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
Since his debut. So with that, I say we take a break.
I agree.
So when we come back, we are going to be doing the Ramblin's. You don't want to miss it. So you're listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night. CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you a fan of Genshin Impact? Then join Lindsay Monday through Wednesday nights around 5:30 p.m. Eastern for Genshin Impact live streams. Follow her through the magical world of Genshin as she fights off all of the creatures on the island, finishes her tasks, and yells at the characters. All live streams can be found at twitch.tv/lensword. That's LINSWARD. You can also use creator code Lins M. Ward in the Epic Game Store, because she is a hashtag Epic partner.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Get the hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
11 p.m. Eastern.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKINSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bell Twins, and you're listening to the Rap Radio Show. Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. Or you can subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, get your ball gowns, get your tuxes, get your awards, because it's time for the Ramblins.
It's time for the 2022 Ramblin' Awards, celebrating the best in sports and entertainment in 2021.
Super!
From the best hard carry to the sweetest moment to the biggest surprise and more.
Yowie wowie!
Now your presenters of 2022 Ramblin' Awards, Lindsay Ward and Sir Rockin'.
We're here, it's the Ramblins.
I feel like we should have an echo effect, but not really.
Echo.
So we are here to present our 2022 Ramblin' Awards. Would you like to start from the bottom and work our way to the top?
I think we go start from the bottom and work our way up.
I was going to say, we can't give her out the top awards first. That's just no fun.
I mean, we could. Like
we could buck that and, you know, not save it to the end, but what's the point of that?
So let's start at the bottom and work our way up. It's the Bludgeon Brothers team of the year. Your nominees are?
Nominees are The New Day, The Usos, RK-Bro, The Street Profits, The Diamond Mine, Imperium, Legado del Fantasma, and MSK.
A lot of good choices on here.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good choices. I think for me, the top four are the best choices, although Legado del Fantasma is kind of sneaking its way in there because they certainly had a good 2020.
See, I'm going to eliminate the New Day. I know, oh, shock and all, I'm eliminating New Day because they had more success solo than as a team fully. While in a complete unit, they all had good, was successful. Woods was King of the Ring, and, you know, Big E, he technically still part of the New Day. He was, you know, the WWE champion. So, not a full tag team year for them. Usos been the mainstays, though.
Usos have been carrying with the Bloodline. They have been backing Roman Reigns up all year. And they've been doing an excellent job of it. I can't complain about them at all. And they are definitely a top contender for this because, again, they've been carrying. They've been doing their job. The Street Profits, another really solid team that have been carrying, have been turning in really, really good work. I don't think it's as good as the Usos, but they have still been turning in really solid work. And then there's, you know, RK-Bro, who they're still a relatively new team, but they've been doing some good stuff. They've been doing some really entertaining stuff.
I think I'm leaning for the winner to be RK-Bro over the Usos just because when you... I think the Usos are more tied to the Bloodline and doing Roman's bidding than being, you know, the great tag team that they are. I think RK-Bro as a team have evolved since July. I think they've sort of gathered themselves and become a very successful tag team. So that's where I'm leaning. If you can make a case for Usos, we'll go Usos, but I'm thinking RK-Bro.
No, I think I can back RK-Bro simply because the Usos have sort of faded into the background of the Bloodline with Roman. They are designed to be muscle and backup. They're not designed to be standouts in that group. It's all about Roman, right? And they're just there to back him up. So while the Usos have been doing their Uso thing and they have held the tag titles for almost a year, or not almost a year, but they've held the tag titles for a really, really long time. They've been backing Roman up. They've been doing wonderful work. They've kind of stagnated since joining the Bloodline a little bit because it's all about Roman and him being at the forefront. Whereas RK-Bro, you had Randy coming out of the story with Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss. He needed a complete reset because that was a super crazy storyline for him, and they gave it to him in the form of Matt Riddle, and I was sitting here like, what the hell are you doing? And it has been the single most entertaining thing they've done in months, because Randy Orton is literally the perfect straight man for Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
And it just works so well, and you can tell that they're having fun, and you can tell that they have really been holding their own and have been standouts in this. So yeah, I can go RK-Bro. I can agree with that.
So our Bludgeon Brothers team of the year, RK-Bro.
Ding.
All right, next category.
Up next, we have Huskus's sweetest moment. Aw. This is going to be a toughie, guys. This is going to be a super toughie one. Let me read you the nominees. We have Indy and Dexter getting married. Big E winning the WWE Championship. Edge and Christian hugging it out in the ring at the Royal Rumble, which was Christian's final appearance in WWE. WWE returns in front of people at WrestleMania. And Xavier Woods wins King of the Ring.
The fact that we got to see Edge and Christian in the same ring together this year and we thought we'd get more of it was kind of disappointing, but it was great to see them get in the ring at the Royal Rumble, hug it out one final time, not knowing that was the end.
Yeah, that was the thing. We all sat here and it's like, wait, what do you mean that's it?
That was it, because Christian would not go on and not sign a new contract with WWE, and he would head on over to AEW in February of this year, or February, March, something like that, right after his contract ended with WWE. He was like, oh, that's a shame. But we got to see the moment. Wish it was in front of fans. It was not. It was in front of the Thunderdome crowd. But it was a cool moment because Christian was, as we've talked about with Samoa Joe, medically disqualified forever. So was Edge. And Edge, this was Edge's big return after tearing his bicep.
Yeah, I think bicep.
Back in June, so this was his big return, and him getting to share the ring with Christian one final time was really cool.
It was really cool, and I really enjoyed this. I liked it quite a lot.
Then you had us going in front of people again. WWE in front of the crowd at WrestleMania in the rain.
Oh, God, that was just awful.
Samoa Joe and Cole out in the rain in with umbrellas and slickers and everything like that, and yeah. That was an event.
The storm with, you know, the ship getting ruined and yeah. I mean, I can almost disqualify this simply because I feel like SummerSlam was a more emotional moment.
It was. But this was the first time in a year and it was a big moment. It was, you had everyone out on the stage. It was the big grand, hey, we're back.
Oh, it was the big grand, hey, we're back, and it was a super emotional moment, but I feel like they weren't at full capacity, right?
No.
Like, we all knew that. It was still cool. It was still wonderful, because it was like that first sign that, hey, maybe COVID is finally starting to relent, and maybe things are going to start to get back to normal. But
then we waited 4 more months before more crowds were back.
Yeah, and so it's like SummerSlam really felt like the actual big return because of that, because they were at, I think, pretty much full capacity when they returned to SummerSlam, and it was like WWE was back, and it's been back ever since. So I feel like WrestleMania, while it was a really, really cool moment, doesn't stand out compared to other moments in this list.
Then you had Xavier Woods winning King of the Ring. A lifelong dream coming true. I can't argue against it being the winner, but then there's Big E winning the championship. I'm torn, and then the wedding itself.
I feel like as good as the wedding was, E and Woods just edged the wedding out.
A little bit, yeah. But we had to make sure they were mentioned.
Oh yeah, we had to make sure it was in there because the wedding was just amazing. Like, we all love a good wrestling wedding. But like, it's two really emotional moments for two really, really big reasons. Like, E, after I think 10 years of being in the company, after working his butt off, after climbing that ladder, he finally wins the WWE Championship. He had the crowds behind him. He had the company behind him. Everybody was for it. It's like the second they put Money in the Bank on him, it's like, please do the thing. Please actually do the thing and put the title on him. And they did it. And they did it relatively quickly. They did not make him have Money in the Bank long. And then there's Xavier Woods, who went out there once King of the Ring got announced. And they're like, we're going to do it. And Woods is like, I'm going to win it. And Woods created his own groundswell. Like, he was out there promoting the ever-living Jesus out of it on social.
Not only and that, he was doing it behind the scenes as well. He was one of the big factors for the King of the Ring coming back.
Like, he manufactured this himself, and he has just been kicking butt with it and owning it, and he and Kofi have done a really great job with it so far. And you see Xavier achieve that lifelong ambition. It's like, it's not to win the title, it's to be the King of the Ring.
Yeah.
To join that elite class. So it's like, you have, to me, it comes down to Big E and Xavier, and I don't know if I can pick one over the other. I kind of want to give it to both of them.
We can't give it to both.
Why?
Because it's a moment. I think Woods edges it out a little more because it has a more personal meaning behind it.
I would agree with that, but I want to give it to both, and it's my show.
You want to give it to both?
And it's my show.
Then announce it.
Your winners in tandem. Because we can. Xavier Woods and Big E. Like, it's too much to pick one over the other, right? Because I feel like it doesn't quite trivialize it, but it's like just saying that Xavier winning King of the Ring over Big E winning the WWE Championship, it just feels cheap. So why not do both?
Okay.
That way they can both be honored and recognized.
All right, what's next?
Next we have the, oh, have mercy, shocking moment. So you have Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson debuting for AEW at All Out. Dakota Kai turning on Raquel Gonzalez.
There was no hypothetical on that one.
There was no hypothetical there. Seth Rollins visiting Edge's home. Adam Cole turning on Undisputed Era. NXT becoming NXT 2.0. Alexa Bliss's fireball to Randy Orton. And finally, Becky Lynch returning at SummerSlam. So I'm going to eliminate something right off the bat. I'm going to go ahead and take Dakota off the list. I think there are bigger moments.
There are bigger moments. Yeah, I would agree.
I would also say that we could potentially eliminate Adam Cole and Bryan Danielson just because I think we all kind of knew that one was coming.
Yeah, I would agree with you. It was a shocking moment to see them both show up together the way they did, because we all figured at least Brian was going to show up that night. We weren't all geared up for Adam. So they gave us Adam, and then they gave us Brian. It was a cool moment. It was a shocking moment. It kind of led to some groundswell movement a little bit. But it's not the most shocking one, especially with Adam Cole involved, because he turned on Undisputed Era.
I mean, I could almost eliminate Becky, too. And the only reason I say I can eliminate Becky is because Becky was, again, every pay-per-view, is Becky Lynch coming back? Is Becky Lynch coming back? Is Becky Lynch coming back? And you could kind of knew when it was coming because there were certain factors that led up to Becky Lynch returning. Was it an oh my god moment? Yes, absolutely, because there's Becky. We have the man back after, you know, a year and a half of being gone because she had a baby. And she looked tremendous, but I don't think it's as shocking as, say, Seth Rollins rolling up to Edge's house completely unexpected, or Adam Cole turning on Undisputed Era, or NXT getting gutted and becoming NXT 2.0.
That was the real shocking moment, because we were on a trend where NXT was just going along, and we did not expect it to like abruptly become 2.0 the way it did.
Like, they just up and announce that one day, and it's like, oh, and then they start firing people, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's the shocking moment for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, then you have Alexa Bliss's fireball, which was a really cool, shocking moment. It didn't lead to much, but it was a cool moment.
It was to further the storyline between her and Randy, because for whatever reason they didn't bring Bray back, but it was a cool moment. Cool. It's very shocking, because they don't do that type of stuff much.
No. I'm going to eliminate Seth, but he's in the top, I guess, three.
Yeah.
I'm torn between gutting NXT and Adam Cole gutting Undisputed Era.
I don't want to give it to 2.0 just because it's such, like I said, it's shocking for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. I don't disagree.
So I kind of want to give it to Adam Cole turning on Undisputed Era.
Yeah, I'm okay with giving it to Adam Cole turning on Undisputed Era.
Just because I just can't do it to NXT turning, becoming NXT 2.0. Like, I just can't do that. Feels wrong.
Yeah. So your Oh Have Mercy shocking moment of the year, Adam Cole turns on Undisputed Era.
And speaking of shocking moments and surprises, let's do the Yowie Wowie biggest surprise. Who are the nominees, Rock?
CM Punk actually returning to professional wrestling, Bad Bunny in-ring debut at WrestleMania, Nikki Ash winning Money in the Bank, Miz cashing in Money in the Bank, Christian's return to the ring at the Royal Rumble, and Top Knot Brock debuts at SummerSlam. I don't know where to begin. I think I can eliminate Christian's return to the ring. It was a surprise. It was shocking, as we've talked about.
There's bigger moments.
There were bigger moments because it didn't lead to anything. It led to his AEW run, but in terms of returning to WWE in the Royal Rumble, it didn't lead anywhere. It didn't give us Edge and Christian versus people. It was a cool surprise. We weren't expecting it. We should have after him the previous time teasing, doing the punt angle, and he finally was able to get clear to do things like that. But him in the Royal Rumble, no one was really expecting it. So it was a surprise. I would eliminate Miz cashing in, because we all knew what was coming, but it was still a surprise when he actually did it and actually winning it, because many thought he was going to lose it, especially with the run Drew was on.
Yeah, I think we all knew what was going to happen there. Like, that wasn't necessarily a surprise. It was cool that they did it, but it wasn't necessarily a surprise.
Nikki winning Money in the Bank.
This was cool. This was shocking. Nobody expected her to win. It got her crowd support. It got her people behind her. It did a lot for her, and unfortunately they've kind of let her fall by the wayside a little bit. Like, they're having her have doubts right now, but it led to a lot of really, really great things for her. It was a super big surprise when she won, because they went in a completely different direction with her and with the title for a little bit, which was great. So yeah, I could see it going to her, but I can't deny the triumph that is getting CM Punk to return to wrestling.
I think we have to give it to CM Punk returning. Before we get to talking about that, Bad Bunny's in-ring debut was a surprise to many because no one thought he would be that good.
Yeah, no one thought he would be good. But the fact that he went in there and he whooped ass, respect. Like, full-on respect, sir.
Yeah.
If you want to come back, we will happily take you back anytime you want to come back.
Yeah.
And
then there's Top Knot Brock, who's been the best Brock. Returning at SummerSlam. Because he had no contract leading into SummerSlam.
He didn't.
He was done. All his obligations were done. They brought him back, and he's been the best Brock. And it was a big surprise when he showed up at SummerSlam, because we weren't expecting it after the Cena match. You weren't expecting it. But there it was. But AEW did it. They did the thing. They brought CM Punk back to wrestling.
That is, even though it was the worst kept secret in wrestling, you have to give it to them. You really, really do. They did the impossible. They got Punk to come back to the business and start working again. After he said over and over again that he was never, ever, ever fucking ever coming back. So kudos to Tony Khan. Kudos to AEW. Kudos to Stephen Amell, because it's actually Stephen Amell's doing that Punk is back in wrestling.
Partly, yeah.
So give Stephen Amell the credit he deserves.
He got part of the credit. The Brody Lee tribute was part of the, okay, this is a good company. And that's where things began.
Yep. Where they opened the talks and they got CM Punk back to wrestling.
So your Yowie Wowie biggest surprise of the year, CM Punk actually returns to pro wrestling. All right, what's next?
Abby's most spellbinding match. You have Roman Reigns versus John Cena at SummerSlam. You have Charlotte Flair versus Becky Lynch, the grudge match that was at Survivor Series that had all the hype. Seth Rollins versus Edge in Hell in a Cell at Crown Jewel. The Women's Royal Rumble 2021, the Men's Royal Rumble 2021, and Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks at WrestleMania.
I love me some Royal Rumbles, but I'm taking them off the board.
Yeah, I need to take Roman and Cena off the board too. I feel like Charlotte and Becky, Seth and Edge, and Bianca and Sasha, those were the top three.
Those were indeed the top three. And it's great that two of them are women's matches.
It's phenomenal that two of them are women's matches.
There was so much hype for the Becky-Charlotte match, and it delivered.
It delivered in so many ways. It was so good.
It was so good. Bianca and Sasha was really good at WrestleMania. It was the closing match at a WrestleMania night one. It was really good. Edge and Rollins so tore the house down at Crown Jewel.
Yeah, they did. They tried to kill each other. And full-on respect to them for doing that, too, because they necessarily didn't have to do that. Like, they didn't have to work as hard as they did, especially Edge. But they did.
They did, yeah. This is hard. I say, looking at it without the hype, I remove Charlotte and Becky.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Then it breaks down to what was the bigger match, Bianca and Sasha or Seth and Edge?
Bianca and Sasha.
Yeah.
It was Bianca and Sasha, 100%. Like, Edge and Seth was good.
It was really good.
But it wasn't groundbreaking. It didn't make history in the way that Bianca and Sasha did.
It didn't move the needle.
Yeah. And they got a lot of press and a lot of hype for that afterwards. And they just went out there and put all of their hearts into it. And it's what launched Bianca to the next level. Yeah. And it brought Sasha to another level as well. But it's what really sent Bianca up from like kind of being a nobody to suddenly being on that grand stage. And her being able to get the opportunities that she has now. She and Sasha just went out there and just delivered on it.
So Abby's most spellbinding match, Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, WrestleMania. All right. Our female hard carry of the year. Our nominees are Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Britt Baker, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Charlotte Flair, Mandy Rose, Io Shirai, and Raquel Gonzalez.
I'm taking Becky off the list.
Why?
She's only there from SummerSlam on.
Okay, I can see that.
I'm also thinking of taking Mandy and Io and Raquel off the list, because in terms of who else is on this list, I feel like they move the needle more than those last three.
I'll say this, Mandy's the most improved on that list.
She is the most improved on that list. Absolutely. And I feel like she's going to be somebody to watch this year. And we'll talk about what she does at the beginning of 2023, which is terrifying. But as for this year, I think she's really just started to come into her own in the last few months with the Toxic Attraction run versus someone like, you know, say Sasha or Charlotte, who have been performing consistently all year.
I would take Sasha off the list.
You would take Sasha off the list?
Because she missed a chunk of time.
I can agree with
that. She took a break after WrestleMania and didn't come back until Money in the Bank and then missed SummerSlam. So she was off a good portion of it.
So that leaves Charlotte, Alexa, Bianca, and Britt.
Britt's been, okay, if we're going to define it as hard carry, she's been the hard carry of the AEW's women's division. She's been the only face of that brand.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately been the only face of that brand. Yes, you have Hikaru Shida, and you have Nyla Rose, and you have Serena Deeb, and you have Tay Conte and Anna Jay, who missed some time this year. You have names, but every week it's the Britt Baker segment, and she's been growing into that character. Fans respond to her. Like, say what you want about AEW and what they've done and how they grow people. When you say DMD, the crowd always does the DMD. She's over with the fan base. So she's in the top two. I think it's Bianca and Britt as your 1A, 1B type, you know, one and two.
I can respect that. I mean, I think, because, I mean, looking at Alexa, looking at Charlotte, I feel like Alexa was good in the front half of the year, and then she tapered off.
And then disappeared.
And disappeared, and then Charlotte Charlotte's been very hit or miss because Charlotte's been in and out as well. Like, the thing with Alexa is once they let Bray go, Alexa kind of didn't have a purpose and she had to find another purpose, which she did, but she could never really get footing. Like, the doll got over, but I feel like what she was doing, especially with the supernatural stuff, didn't go over as well. And so they kind of had to take their foot off the pedal with her. And then there's Bianca, who took off this year, who went to the stratosphere, who was your SmackDown Women's Champion coming out of WrestleMania. She's carried. She has been amazing. But I don't think she's done as much as Britt. I really don't. Like, Britt has been single-handedly carrying the AEW's women's division on her shoulders. With help.
With help. But, and I'll add one more point to it. This was the first full year where she stayed healthy.
Like, yeah.
She was on the rise in 2020, but got hurt a bunch. But she had the match with Thunder Rosa and everything like that. Everything fell into place for Britt this year. So
she had a really good year.
So we're going Britt?
We're going Britt.
The female hard carry of the year, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
All right. And your final Ramblin' of 2022/2021. Male hard carry of the year. You have Adam Page, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Edge, Seth Rollins, Kenny Omega, Big E, and Roman Reigns.
So Johnny's on here because he had a really good year just doing something that isn't normally what we've seen from him. In his final year in NXT, he changed the way he did things and became more comedy and more over the top. And it was really fun. You had Tommaso as the veteran workhorse for that brand through everything. Neither of them are the hard carries.
No, they're really not. I mean, I would argue Johnny more than Tommaso because Johnny did the way and Johnny had a really, really great run there at the end of his NXT tenure. Like, he did have a really good 2021.
Oh, yeah. I don't disagree.
But I don't think Tommaso has had as good of a year because he was out and he came back. And he has not been around as much, especially in the 2.0 era, which is where he got hurt. It's like Johnny left. He's no longer with NXT. And so he hasn't been around for, you know, like a month, which doesn't hurt because he was there for the other
11 and a half months.
The other 11 and a half months.
He missed 3 weeks.
Full completion or nothing.
Or nothing. But then, okay, full completion or nothing, then you get rid of Adam Page because he missed some time. But he also had a lot of character development. And the crowd got behind him, and it led to him winning the championship, I'd say 3 months later, too late. But they did it because of reason. But I don't think he was AEW's hard carry.
I don't think Edge is either.
Yeah, I was going to say, Edge had a great year. He's done some great things, and he's been around more than you thought he would. Like, those pops when the crowd first came back were massive.
Because it's Edge.
It's Edge. He had some of the biggest reactions. Seth Rollins has been a great character all year. His evolution into Seth freaking Rollins and
the suit.
The suit. The man of the million suits. Yeah.
Okay. Like, I feel like Seth has been moving the needle in a lot of really good positive ways because he's just been owning the shit out of that gimmick and it has helped him tremendously to be on Raw. Because it gets him out of Roman's shadow, and he's able to now flourish out from under Roman.
Okay.
And Roman can do his thing, and Seth can do his thing.
So we have Big E listed here. Big E's had a good year. He was Intercontinental Champion to start, ended the last 4 months as WWE Champion. A great year. But there's that gap where he was just not really doing anything until Money in the Bank came around.
I hate to say it, but I could disqualify E just because Roman has been champion all year. Kenny Omega was champion all year. Seth Rollins was turning in quality work all year. Whereas E, like you said, did have the gap. He had a tremendous final 3 months, and I look forward to seeing what he does in 2022, and I hope that we nominate him again, and we can let him, or not say let him win, but give it to him in 2023 for all the great, wonderful things that he's going to do. But compared to some of the other people on this list, I just don't feel like he's had as good of a year. Like, he's kind of on the Edge level where he had a great year, but it just doesn't stack up to two other names on this list. And I could even eliminate Seth for Kenny and Roman just because Kenny and Roman have actually carried their respective companies on their backs as the champions.
All right, Brent, listen to this. So he brought up, I know Kenny Omega matches before. Kenny Omega was the hard carry of the year in multiple promotions. AAA, Impact and AEW. Kenny Omega did a lot of great things throughout the year. He was the world traveler as much as you can do it in 2021. He deserves a lot of credit. Should he have been the one to drop belts to the other talent to elevate them? Yes. Did he? No. So that's where I kind of disqualify him a little bit, and I give it to Roman. Because I think Roman's done more to elevate than Kenny has. If you're nitpicking. Because Kenny had a great year. Love him or hate him.
I have nothing but respect for Kenny, because I think he got put in an awkward position where it's like, hey, we're going to do this, and we need you to do this, and he's like, okay, cool. And that's what he did, right? And he worked hard, and he did everything that he could. But I can't speak to Kenny's work because I have not seen Kenny's work. So for me, I have to default to Roman simply because I have seen Roman's work, and I know what Roman has been doing, and he has been getting everything that he's done over. The heel turn was the best thing WWE has ever done for him, because it has just done nothing but sent him into another level, and he's found his footing with it. The stuff with Heyman was tremendous. There was the entire feud with Brock for the Battle of Paul Heyman's Love. It's led to a lot of development in Roman's character as a whole, and he's gone from really needing Paul Heyman to not needing Paul Heyman now, and he's good to go there. So for me, just because I have seen his work, I have to give it to Roman. But if you want to give it to both, we can give it to both. I have no problem doing that.
No, we're not giving it to both, because I think Kenny could have done business better at the end.
I don't think that was entirely up to Kenny, though. I think that was up to the promotions.
I know. I think Kenny dropping the belt to Christian was the weak move of them all. I think he should have dropped it to an Impact talent. So if I'm going to nitpick, right, at the end, I think Rowan has done more to elevate than Kenny has. So I'm going Roman.
Okay, Roman.
So your male heart carrier of the year, Roman Reigns. And that wraps up the 2022 Ramblin' Awards, the best of 2021.
Hey, ding! So do you like our picks? Do you agree with our picks? Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio at Lens Ward to let us know what you think and who should have won and who should have lost. But with that, I think we're done.
We are done. CB Radio Live returns this Saturday night, midnight-ish. We're doing the Greater Than Great debate on Blame Rob moments of 2021. So you can check that out. GreaterThanGreatDebate.com.
CBRadioLive.com. Words with Rob. I think we all need to have words.
And we're going to express them.
With Rob.
We're going to express it all on Saturday. It's going to be a thing. Tune in, midnight-ish. Before that, there may be Fortnite with Friends.
We'll have to see.
The Eagles and Cowboys game's on, so once that ends, maybe we'll go live. I'm not sure yet. But Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio will do the best of 2021 and give their predictions for 2022. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to give our predictions for 2022 and look back at what we got right in our predictions last year.
I don't know how much we got right, because, oh boy, it was a tumultuous year.
Maybe the keeper of the records will come on and tell us things. I don't know. We'll
see. I mean, would the keeper of the records come on and tell us things? Do we have to lure him with something?
I don't know. He would have to go leave work to do it. Anyway, Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms. We're being more active on the Instagram. Instagram.com/Rack Radio Show. Make sure you follow it. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Games. Support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RockSock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWRD. Go to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward, and please follow the channel. I have been streaming Genshin Impact, and I've been having a lot of fun doing it. I do streams Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday from 5:30 to about 7:30 or 8 o'clock on those days, so please come check it out. We are currently in the 2.4 update, and we are checking out the new underground area. The stream was live tonight, so please go check that out. I'm also on YouTube, linswar.rackradioshow.com, or search me on YouTube, and you can find my channel content with all my VODs. I even have some poll clips on there. There are some surprises that happened in the 2.4 poll, so you want to check that out. Also, please visit our very fine sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rock right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.